You're tuned to 89.1 WGLT.org. I'm Laura Kennedy with this WGLT Datebook. As the coronavirus pandemic shuts down activities across the globe and people are sheltered in place, one local member of the arts community has decided to make the best of a tense situation. Doug Johnson is the director of the McLean County Arts Center in Bloomington and, as a studio artist, is known for his landscape paintings. When Governor Pritzker first issued the shelter-in-place order, Johnson reacted by posting on Facebook his intention to turn shelter-in-place into artist-in-residence.
I have so many friends that travel far away for positions as artists-in-residence at different art centers or museums, and for most of them, they go off to some far-flung place, and they have what is still rather a solitary experience working in a studio in just a different sort of landscape. And for me, I'm looking at this as my hours. I'm dividing them between my day job and my studio time. And I thought, gosh, there's really not much more difference than their experience, with the exception that I know where everything is here.
You decided to spread the word. You put it on Facebook. Tell me about how your artist friends reacted to that.
You know, I think it's one of the most popular posts I've had in a long time. I think a lot of other people are identifying with the idea of taking ownership for this experience and trying to turn it into something that's really positive. All we can do is say, gosh, here we are, and what are the best things that make this possible?
Tell me how you think artists can best use their time now.
In my case, you know, I just had a show this last fall at a university in Chicago, and I have another one coming up next spring, and it's a nice opportunity for me to look at what is my current body of work, what are the things that seem to be successful for me, what are the things where I have areas of growth, and then utilizing this time for some serious assessment of those opportunities. It's a hackneyed phrase, but every crisis is an opportunity, and with this, our opportunity is to spend some more dedicated, focused time doing some, in my case, some problem solving.
Tell me about some of the problems you may have already solved, or are you not there yet?
I have a tendency to walk into every painting as looking at that painting as having a problem to be solved. What is the agenda that is prescribed based on the different criteria I've established for the painting? And for the last year or so, I've started every painting with a palette of really just kind of three colors, and then launched the composition into its, well, initially, you know, its value structure and its color structure, and then elaborated on the end. But the problem I'm solving this week is I have a new painting that I'm looking at, and I'm violating all of those rules just to see if they work beyond the abstraction of those limited problems I've had previously.
Well, of course, everybody is under a fair amount of stress right now. How do artists deal with the stress and still be creative? Is this a good way to help channel that stress? What kind of advice do you have?
Well, the weight of art history is one that shows every possible example for how artists respond to these situations. And the plague, or any plague for that matter, is amply evidenced throughout the entire course of human existence and evidenced through art. You know, even when I was in grad school and still doing landscape painting, I was heavily influenced by artists' response to the plague, whether that was the rise in humanism or the Renaissance. All of those things came out of these societal changes. And I think art history gives us the tools to anticipate what some of those changes could be.
Something else you're concentrating on is keeping your sense of humor. In fact, on your Facebook page, you put artist in residence at the plague.
Oh, it's, you know, having a sense of humor is vital for being creative. And ultimately, there's a lot of anxiety right now, and there's a lot of opportunity to get worried and to become insular. But one of the great things about art is you get to share those insecurities, you get to share those anxieties and hopes and dreams and fear, and put it up in a way that's tangible for other people to connect and hopefully have their own experience validated or explored.
You know, you're known for your landscapes. You know, you've got beautiful rolling Illinois prairies and farmland and such. I've always found your work to be very beautiful, very relaxing, very soothing. Are you looking back at some of your previous works to basically help with your mood right now, to find something to give you a little peace?
Yeah, you know, I am. Well, first of all, you know, being an artist is always finding a level of peace with constant dissatisfaction, just because we're always having to be critical of our work and not wanting to repeat ourselves, you know, and find those opportunities to explore and investigate. And so looking back at the work I've done in the last, you know, let's say 5 years, I find there are some things that I miss. There's some things that I did because, you know, every painting is a record of decisions. There are sometimes decisions that were really successful that I wasn't aware of. And spending some more time in my studio now, I've looked back on a couple things. Actually, I posted a picture a couple days ago that I had painted 5 years ago. And at the time, I thought, well, that's kind of a middling success. And now I look back at it and think, gosh, you know, there's still lessons for me here, that things that I was casual about ended up having a level of sophistication that only over time did it reveal itself.
Do you suppose the internet is going to be something people will be turning to more, selling their wares, selling their artwork on Etsy and places like that in order to find an income?
Well, yeah, certainly. You know, right now, the number one gallery in the world is not in New York or Paris. It's Instagram. Frankly, I sell most of my artwork from the internet as well. Most people, whether they're buying artwork for a big corporate collection or something for their living room, I sell it from my website. So it's a new age, and it's been a new age for a while, and we haven't quite found our footing with all of that. But I think this current change will make a big difference.
Well, a lot of people are saying that 9 months after now, there might be something of a coronavirus baby boom. Do you think there might be a coronavirus art boom as well?
Gosh, I would hope so. I would hope that a lot of creatives are finding the time to make work. You know, I have so many friends that are teaching college, and all of them have been thrust into the environment where they're having to teach a studio class in a distance learning environment, which is, you know, antithetical to the type of exchange and work that normally an artist does. So I think that change can have some tremendous differences on how we perceive and communicate.
Doug, do you think that perhaps somewhere down the road you might have a coronavirus-themed show at the McLean County Art Center to highlight some of the art that's been created at this time?
Oh, I think that'd be wonderful. I would certainly look forward to that, and I would certainly hope that artists are in tune to themselves and our society in such a way that they can find some truths to share about this unique time for us.
Have you found any great truths that you want to share yet, or are you still in that process?
Well, you know, I'm still in that process. Now, I grew up thinking a lot about plagues. My father was a life actuary. In my master's thesis, I had a lot of references to plague and plague theory and how it manifests itself with our understanding of ourselves and art and our place in art. But those were all fairly abstract. So, you know, looking at the tangible realities of things that have been mere ideas always reinforces all the things we don't know.
I have to wonder if some of the art that we're going to see coming out of this is something that is something people created to take themselves out of the situation, to create something that's far removed from the plague, the virus, or if it's going to be something more along the lines of what Hieronymus Bosch might have created.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bosch was an amazing artist who responded so completely to that time. There's a painting, Mad Meg, by Bosch of this woman storming through this hellscape. And she was essentially a peasant woman who was exhausted by the death and was taking the battle to hell. I think there's that response of just dealing with the anxiety and the horror show of the cultural tumult. But there's also, you know, an event like this is kind of like a world war. You know, Monty Python came out of that sense of the uselessness of logic. And I think both extremes provide a real validation for everyone's own experience.
Do you have any idea, Doug, right now where you might stand regarding the Sugar Creek Arts Festival, whether or not that will go forward in July or not?
That's a great question. You know, we really want to bring forward the Sugar Creek Arts Festival. So many of the artists that we have personal relationships with have lost essentially the first half of their season, and that is what supports and sustains them as as artists and as households. It is my hope that by June, we would be able to have an idea for that. We've extended the deadline for artists to apply because we know how fragile this time is. So, you know, while we want to make plans for any sort of eventuality, being able to support the artists and present such an important community event, I think, is vital. One way or the other, we want to be able to serve our function to provide community development for all of us. And you know, our vehicle for that is the arts, and our tools for that are the artists.
That's artist Doug Johnson, director of the McLean County Arts Center in Bloomington. You can see photos of his works on our website, wglt.org. I'm Laura Kennedy.